Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Shalom. Good afternoon. It's now 12 noon here. We want to thank all of our listening audience that's listening to us here at www.livedeliverance.com. We also, if you'd like to come in our blog talk room, you can dial guest call-in number is 646-378-1857. Hit option number 1, and you can come in for questions and answers and for prayer. We have a praise report. We have a praise report. Our technician is back, and we are going to be able to get back on YouTube more faster than the litigation. I have been praying for this for 11 months and continue to pray and trust God. We're going to have a complete series on deception. I'm still working on that information on deception part 2. I also want you to know that the Lord has given me a lot of revelation on food, and we're going to have a teaching on the body. I have drastically changed my weight. Now, notice when I come from Jamaica and come back to the U.S., I pick up weight here in the U.S., but when I go back to Jamaica, I lose weight. And I begin to look in the scriptures because of that. And it could be spiritual, which I cast the spirit out, and then it wasn't spiritual. It was natural. And God has been showing me teachings on health, onions, they're good for your memory. Someone has a problem, and the Lord has sent me to tell them to eat onions. Eat a lot of onions. Saute them, and season them, not with no salt for high cholesterol, just to make it taste okay. But you want the vitamins to stay in the onions. God has been showing me about carrots, Brussels sprouts, helps high blood pressure. We're going to be getting into that. All right, let's pray, because we have a good one here and something that people needs to know. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Come, Holy Spirit, use me as your oracle on this Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of Sabbath. We thank you for your angels, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your kindness and mercy through us and our stubbornness. We thank you for the second Adam, Yeshua the Messiah. We bind every satanic force, every communications device. We take authority over every voice, bouncy spirit that will try to block this teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Demonically caused conditions. There are people who have problems, and it is caused by demons. There are people who have problems. The same demon can cause the same problem with a person with a physical problem. Demons are used by Satan to oppose God. Again, demons are used by Satan to oppose God, his plan and purpose, and his people. They also war against unbelievers to keep them from the truth of the gospel, to entice them, in the book of James it says. Demons control specific territories, principalities, such as the Prince of Persia mentioned in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. Demons also work through personalities of people, through men and women, to accomplish satanic objectives in the world. Now, that is some serious deception. Now, I don't really want to go into politics, because I'm not a politician. I don't preach politics. When I go into something, the Spirit of God moves me to do something to enlighten a person so that they won't get trapped in the snare of the devil. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6, Isaiah 5:13. When these presidents, Biden and all these Harris, Obama, all of these types of people speaking, Donald Trump, all of them, you have to really be careful and test the spirit when people are speaking, because demons work through personalities. Now, if the Spirit of God tells you that it is of God, then you believe it. Again, you have to learn about how to test the Spirit, and I am definitely going to go over that now, because the subject today is demonically caused conditions, and you may have to test the Spirit to see if these conditions are demonically or if it is not. It could be natural, but still function like it's a demonic spirit. Now, to read this, this is coming from a brother in the Lord, Brother Michael. And he sent this to me, and he was dealing with a case, and he explained well, perfectly, how to test the spirit. He said, per telephone conversations with you the other day, you said you had a friend who was hearing voices. Hearing voices is not of God. That's a demonically caused condition. That is demons. When you see people hearing voices and you don't hear them, most of the time, 88% of the time of a person who is talking to themselves are talking to demons. Then he said, you said, it got so bad at one time that she had herself checked into a mental hospital. Schizophrenia is a demonic spirit that functions with the natural mind. They work together, the soulish mind. You also mentioned that she apparently believed in spirit guides. Now, anytime you open up yourself to Ouija boards, tarot cards, dip wax, crystal ball reading, the beginning of it is zodiac signs. If she's using the word spirit guides, the voice that she is hearing are demonic spirits. Spirit guide is a New Age term and comes right out of the occult. There are some people who literally make contact with what they feel are good spirits. Now, let me explain this, because I got a lot of Christians calling me with some foolishness, brothers and sisters. There's only one good spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. There's no other good spirit. He doesn't have friends to communicate. He is entwined with the Godhead. It is not the Trinity. Reverend Dilmore, stop teaching people it's the Trinity. Dr. Hawkins, cut it out. Montgomery, Tilton, McNugget, Hilton, Donaldson, Jackson, Higginbrew, Higginbottom, Witherspoon. Stop teaching folks that mess. It's the Godhead. And there's no such thing as a good spirit. You have to test the spirit. I had a lady that called me. She said, oh, I have a spirit in here, and it really keeps my company. And the Lord revealed to me it was a familiar spirit, familiar with her personality. So you have to test the spirits in order to find out demonic cause condition within yourself or people or if you're in this ministry. These good spirits, she said, are really nice to me, but these good spirits are really demonic spirits masquerading as angels of light. If this woman is a Christian, then she is headed toward very dangerous waters if she still is hearing these voices and have gone so far as to make direct contact with what she feels is a good spirit or a spirit guide. If she has made contact with one kind of spirits, there are only three possible things that she can make contact with. One, Jesus Christ. Two, one of God's angels. Three, demonic spirits, period. I will give you two verses to give you here so that you can have fair warnings as to what she's really dealing with. Number one, I would tell the friend the next time she hears any voices coming from, I would tell her to do this. Now, this is for, I want all of you to write this down so you can learn how to test the spirit. Now, if you can't hear nothing, you may have anger, unbelief, and you may not have enough scripture in your spirit. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of you and out of the mouth of God. So when you read the word, and continue to read the word, that word in you is what's going to speak back to you. Because God's word is truth. Thy word is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, John 8:32. But a lot of people don't tell folks that you got to test the spirit in order to get set free from the truth. Now, you remember what we said earlier, that demons are personalities and they work through people. Well, there's a president that just lie, 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 lie. And every time I test the spirit, it's a lie. It's a lie. Donald Trump. Obama, lie, 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 lie. Biden, lie. All of them, they're in the world. They are worldly people functioning for worldly things. Civilized, organized humanity, that's all that is. But there's a purpose for it. God established government order so there won't be no chaos. So we really have to pray for these types of people. And you need to really test the spirit to find out who the Lord wants you to vote for. He may have one brother to vote for this verse and brother do for another vote for that. Because his ways are not your ways, neither are his thoughts are yours. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Forgive me with the glasses here. I had to tape it up. You know, they broke and I fixed them. All right, let's go. Number one, write this down. Ask the Spirit who his Lord and Master is. I'm going to give you a chance to write that down. I'm not going to rush this because people need to know how to test the Spirit. Ask the Spirit who his Lord and Master is. Spirit better say his Lord and Master is Jesus Christ. If the Spirit cannot confess that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Master, then he is not an angel from God, period. Number two, I will then tell her to ask the Spirit to confess to her that Jesus Christ has come to our earth in the flesh. If this Spirit cannot make this specific confession to her, then this Spirit is definitely not from God. Scriptural basis. Scriptural basis. Got to get my Bible now. First John 4:1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit. You're not supposed to believe every spirit. You could be on the phone and my number may call. You see my number, your mind will say, oh, that's him. And amen, amen. You can't use your mind. You got to be in the spirit realm at all times. You have to be sensitive in the spirit also to hear the spirit. Now, if you're carnal and you think a lot, it's going to be very hard for you to hear the spirit because you're going to start figuring it out. You got to really tear that down. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, wherefore we have heard that it shall come, and even now already it is in the world. It is be considered an Antichrist spirit if it does not identify itself. For some who don't know what Antichrist spirit is, I will help you. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already it is in the world. 1 John 4:3. Manifestations of this Antichrist spirit against Christ, against the deliverance ministry, against casting out demons, against the Sabbath day. You have Christians that have an antichrist spirit in them still serving Christ because it's against Jesus' Lord of Sabbath. Mark 2:20. Where's my Bible, Lord? He just told me, quote it, and I'm going to follow the Lord. I ain't going none of this out of my mind. I don't want no part of my mind. And he said unto them, Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, if the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, and if you don't like it and you don't want to talk about it and you hate it, you want to go on Sunday, that's an antichrist spirit. And how did that spirit get into you? By the spirit of error in 1 John 4:6. Attempt to take the place of Christ is an antichrist spirit. Oppose Christ. Oppose his doctrine. Oppose his victory. Oppose his humility. His dignity. Oppose his power. Substitutes and other methods anointing for sin and for finding acceptance from God. Claims authority and would bind people to church laws contrary to scriptures of freedom from the law. Attack the individual personal testimonies as to what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Oppose the prophetic office by claiming authority to add to altars and take away from the prophecy revelation. Oppose Christ and his power. Oppose the Holy Ghost and all of its functions. Harass the disturbance of the believer, vex the righteous soul, even intelligent forces to carry out guerrilla warfare against saints, antichrist spirit. Now, remember this. We're going to teach you how to test the spirit again. Number one, ask the spirit. Like say, for instance, someone, I'll give you an example of Drew, Prophet Drew. I got on him. He was on Omega Man Radio. That's the one that don't have the Holy Spirit running around talking about the Pontius and think he's that's Donald. That's his Jesus. Donald Trump is his Jesus. This is an idiot. And I did not know that he was like this until the Lord revealed him. He don't speak in tongues because I was doing a deliverance with him. He kept breaking in. There was no harmony between me and him. God wants the righteous to have harmony. Psalms 133, verse 1. Oh, how it is good together for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And how can two come together unless they agree? Amos 3:3. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I got it by the Spirit of God. No, you didn't. You get the Spirit of Christ, but not the power. And you should receive power after the Holy Ghost. You're going to need power to test the Spirit. So write this down. Wait a minute. So this prophet Drew was trying to prophesy with me, and I test the Spirit. It was really easy. I really didn't have to test the Spirit, but I always test the Spirit. He told me the Lord is going to give me a building in 8 months. And you need to receive this. And I said, well, brother, I'll just, no, right now, receive. I said, hold up, man. Wait a minute. The Bible says out the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 2 Corinthians 13:1. And then I said, I got to test the Spirit. Of course, I already knew that it wasn't going to happen because I had just moved out of a building paying $1,500 a month 15 years ago. And the Lord said, you're going to need this money to run the radio station. And it takes that much to run this radio station on a monthly basis. So I said, all right, I'll call you back. What? Give me the date when this is going to happen. He told me March such and such and such in 8 months. See, a lot of pastors do that thinking that you're going to forget about it, especially when they're in a live service. Give it 9 months. Throw that $100 in there. Double it up, $500. You get triple back in 8 months. You done forgot all about it. That's their game. So I called him back. I said, you're lying, prophet. What you talking about? I said, listen to this recording. He had nothing to say. I said, Shannon, why don't you get this man off air? You can't be buddy-buddy with people in ministry. That's one thing I can tell you. You cannot be buddy-buddy with folks in ministry. When you have to make a decision and God gives you that criteria to implement that to that person, it's up to you to do it. And I called him in a lie because I know God would not tell me to leave a building and put me back in a building. One, ask the Spirit who his Lord and Master is. The Spirit better say his Lord and Master is Jesus Christ. If the Spirit cannot confess that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Master, then he is not from God. And it is not an angel from God, because an angel from God will say Jesus Christ came in the flesh, because he did in John 1:14. I believe the reason of demonic spirits cannot confess that Jesus Christ came to the earth in the flesh is due to the fact that Jesus totally defeated Satan and all his fallen angels. Now you know how to test the spirit. Amen? All right. Now, again, they also, demons are used by Satan to oppose God, his plan, his purpose, his people. They also war against unbelievers to keep them from the truth of the gospel. Demons control specific territories, principalities, such as the Prince of Persia mentioned in Daniel chapter 10, 12 to 13. Demons also work through personalities. That's why you have to test the spirit when people are talking, through men and women to accomplish satanic objectives in the world. Opposition to God's will is Satan's main objective. The word Satan means adversary. Satan is primarily God's adversary. That's in Job 1:6, verse 39. He is secondarily man's adversary, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He's against God first, then he's against God, mankind. Demons have different natures. One demon identified himself in 1 Kings 22:23 as a lion spirit. A deaf and dumb spirit is identified in Mark chapter 9:25. Demons of various natures operate as spirits of infirmity, seducing spirits, unclean spirits. Satan uses them to war against man, body, soul, and spirit. Spirits of infirmity. These are spirits that affect the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. Read Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17. This woman was afflicted with a spirit of infirmity. She was presented and was present in the Sabbath services. I want to make that very clear. This was not on no Sunday. Okay? Why don't you do it on a Saturday and try to get healed instead of Sunday? He ain't dealing with God. God's spirit ain't in no church on no Sunday. Read Luke 13, 10 through 17. This woman was afflicted with a spirit of infirmity. She was present in the Sabbath service, like today, and Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. Both of these facts indicate she probably was a follower of God, yet Satan had afflicted her body for 18 years. Use discernment. Lord, show me, do I have this in my bloodline? Discernment and testing the spirit is very powerful. Break generational curse. A curse shall not come without a cause, Proverbs 26:2. For other examples of demonic afflictions of the body, you need to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Matthew chapter 17, verse 15 through 18. 10, verse 38. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now let's deal with seducing spirits. These spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrines of lies, such as we have his written word, tongues have ceased, and be condemned to eternal punishment. These are spirits of false doctrine, cults, false Christ and false teachers, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Jesse DeFrancis, Kenneth Copeland. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. QAnon is a doctrine of devils that operate in the principality of the Republican Party. All of these theories and what they call it, Holy Spirit, conspiracies. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of conspiracy. You never know the truth will fall for that. That's why they push it. These are demons. That's in 1 Timothy 4:1. These seducing spirits are deceptive. They actually work miracles that lead some to believe that they are of God. But they are the spirits of the devil working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16:14. He, even who is coming after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. You need to know the love of the truth. You need to know how to test the spirit. You need to know when someone talking to you, is it them or is the devil in them? You really need to know that. Such spirits of divination or familiar spirits operate in fortune tellings, witches, and psalms, crystal balls, tea leaves through unscriptural methods. Spirits of divination foretell the future of things naturally unknown, warning against this. Let's look at this. Demonically caused condition, familiar spirit. Now, this spirit here is very, very subtle. And you can't be in your mind and in your intellect dealing with what I'm about to tell you. All right. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Now this spirit mostly operate in women, but they do work also in men. During the course of my times as a demonologist and dealing with demons and deliverance, I barely rarely saw a familiar spirit operating in a male witch. But they are, just like Jezebel can operate in a man and Ahab in a woman. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that have a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that have a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on an other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee. Now he's praying to the devil. He's going after demonic wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. Pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, and I shall name unto thee, in 1 Samuel 28:7-8. Manifestations of the spirit of divination and the familiar spirits. Witch or wizards, soothsayers, observers of time, abilimics, horoscopes, ekandar, musician, magic witch or wizardry, one who practiced witchcraft and sorcery, hypnosis, a charmer that's operate with familiar spirit, a medium who consults with a familiar spirit. The medium is a demon, and the familiar spirit is a demon. Or it could be a principality in a small package. According to what direction the Holy Spirit will have you to deal with that specific demon during the time of an exorcism. Clairvoyancy, witch or wizardry, narcolomancy, the ones who consults the dead, conjure, ones who command and summon a demon to appear. And this is what Saul wanted. He wanted a conjurer. And that's a person who operate with the familiar spirit and use conjure as a form commanding and summoning a demon from hell to the present world. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among anyone that uses divination or an observer of time or an enhancer or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, or wizard, or a narcomancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 12. Stargaze, one who studied the stars and worshiped them. Isaiah 47:13 is under the familiar spirit. Astrologers, those who use an effect to foretell the future and advise kings back in those days, they still do it today. Bellomancy, divination by arrows, Ezekiel 21:21. Water watching, divination by a rod, Hosea 4:12. Speculonometry, Ezekiel 21:21. Phology, Judges chapter 17, verse 5. With the familiar spirits, as it takes himself in Isaiah 8:19, a person who throws his voice and transmits it is a vocalist, which is being used by demons. Look at Acts 16:16, when the voice of the woman spoke. That's a demon that changes their voice. Divination is the art of obtaining secret knowledge, especially of the future, a pagan counterpart of prophecy. It's a pagan counterfeit of true prophecy. Careful comparison of scripture will reveal the inspiration that divination is a demonic power, wherein guidance through the demon instead of the Spirit of God. The biblical attitude toward divination is hostile. God does not like it. Study Deuteronomy 18:10 and 12. These two evil spirits are so closely related in their manifestation that I thought it was best to combine the teachings of the two. The spirit of divination appears to be aided and engaged by the familiar spirit, and these two work hand in hand. They buddies, they partners. Possess a familiar spirit, call it a personal spirit guide, which is not. It's a familiar spirit who is friendly and brings good revelation to the hearer. That only goes on for 6 months, and after that, it comes havoc. If any of you want to learn more about the occult, there's a movie that I would prefer you to really watch, Michael King, The Possession of Michael King. And he dabbled in a lot of this stuff, and it wasn't good for him. Again, The Possession of Michael King. Remember that Satan craves for worship, and he will take it any way he can. Seducing spirits entices men and women to worship idols and even Satan himself. All right, we're going to deal with unclean spirits. Powers affect the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for immoral acts, unclean thoughts, temptation, and other strategies of Satan used to bind men and women. When Satan controls individuals with the unclean spirit, he can also operate in home, churches, and entire nations, as these groups are composed of individuals. This is how Satan works in various levels of structure in society. For examples of unclean spirits, look at Matthew 10:1, Matthew 12:43, and Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 26. The unclean spirit is all on the TV. That thing pumping and entertaining you every day. All right, let's look at the words oppression, and possess. Evil spirits can oppress people. To oppress means to bear down, come against, or bind from the outside. This oppression is accomplished by evil spirits in various ways. They cause depression, create negative circumstances, and insert wrong and evil thoughts to the believer into the mind, such as through suicide, unbelief, fear. All these are created by demons in the mind to oppress and possess your peace. Now, the word says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God, through his son Jesus, can free you from oppression. Demons can also pass human beings. Demons possession and condition in which one or more evil spirits inhabit the body of a human being and take complete control of their victims by the soul realm. Some people prefer using the word demonize rather than possession. I like the word possession of the soul, not the spirit. Possession can happen willfully. A person may desire to be taken over by spirit powers in order to what? Seduce, pronounce curses upon individuals, and bring devastating effects to the human spirit. I know a man, this woman put some stuff on him, some witchcraft on him, and all he does all day is just, that's every day. He's been like that the past 7 years. Down there in New Orleans, I told him he needs some deliverance. I ain't heard from him yet, but they got my number. Demons can affect believers. A true believer cannot be possessed by a demon spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot inhabit the same temple as an evil spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19-20. When you belong to God and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot belong to Satan and be filled with his spirit at the same time. The Holy Spirit will not abide in the same temple with Satan. But this does not mean believers cannot be afflicted by demonic powers. It is these powers against which we wrestle. Satan used demonic powers to attack believers from the outside through oppression, the symptoms of which was previously discussed. But he cannot possess the true believer. To possess indicate occupation. To oppress or bind indicate control from the outside. Believers can be satanically directed if they allow demonic powers to oppress them by opening up doors to satanic entrance, such as Ouija boards, tarot cards, even participating in Halloween. This is what happened when Peter, a disciple of Jesus, was used by Satan to try to divert Jesus from suffering for the sins of all mankind. When Jesus described the suffering he was to go through, Peter said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee," in Matthew 16:22. Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." See there? You see that? Christ was able to discern that that was not Peter. In any areas for demonically caused condition, you have to be able to discern. You may have a person around you with schizophrenia. Ask the Lord, what personalities am I dealing with, Lord? What demon am I dealing with? Most people who have schizophrenia have heavy forms of rejection, childhood rejection, hurts, pains, cruelty, sexual abuse, perversion, incest. Oh, it goes on and on. And it brings frustration to them. And then the demons start telling them, don't nobody love you. And then they really start telling lies to them, the FBI looking for you. They don't even know you. But they really believe it. These are demonic spirits that's doing this. Jesus did not mean Peter was actually Satan. He recognized that at the moment Peter allowed Satan to operate through him. He was not demon-possessed, but he was allowing satanic spirits to influence him. Believers, by their own actions, can give place or make room for Satan to use them, especially from your mind and from your negative thinking. Ephesians 4:27 says, give the devil no place. Amen? All right. How demons gain control? Demons gain control in several ways. Through generational curses, demons may oppress or possess a person because of previous possession or oppression of the parents. This accounts for demonic influences over children. Study Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, Exodus chapter 34, verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. Through the mind is one of the major battlefields how Satan attacks Christians. If Satan controls your thoughts, you are not going to be able to enter into the realm of hearing the Spirit of God. If Satan controls your thinking, you will not be able to hear the Spirit of God. He will evidently control your actions. Lack of mental control evidently result in lack of use of the will. of your own will. This leads to sinful actions, consulting with familiar spirits in your mind. Mind idolatry opens up the door to squid spirits, which are spirits from the mind, and setesis, intellectual spirits. Through sinful action, sinful thoughts are so fulfilled by sinful actions. For example, the thought of adultery is fulfilled in the actual act of adultery. Sin, rebellion against God, and rebellious thoughts and actions provided by nothing but demonic powers within your fleshly mind. Detecting demonic presence. To overcome demonic powers, it is important to be able to recognize their presence and tactics. The Holy Spirit has provided a specific spiritual gift for this purpose. This gift is called discerning of spirits. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, to discern means to discover, evaluate, and to make a distinction between the gifts of discerning of spirits enables a believer to discern the spirits operating in others. It permits him and her to discover, evaluate, identify, and cast out. Not all believers have this specific gift. If a believer does not have this gift, there are signs of demonic presence that can be observed. When the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus with an appeal that he cast out an unclean spirit from her daughter, she said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil," Matthew 5:22. How did she know this? She knew it by symptoms. Detection is simply observing what demonic spirits do to a person. Here are some symptoms of demonic activity. Demonic obsession is recognized by an uncontrollable appetite of hate, lust, diabolical movies, and anything that's worldly does not consider the Spirit of God. Demonic oppression can be recognized by the following signs: physical binding. The daughter of Abraham, who Jesus revealed of the spirit of infirmity, was bound physically, according to Luke chapter 13. Verse 10 through 17. So ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, what is this that I'm identifying with?" Get the nine gifts of the Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to do a teaching on the nine gifts. Dealing with demonic powers is something to be left to professional ministers. That's not true. Jesus says, "In my name, ye shall cast out devils." Here are biblical references to how to deal with conditions caused by demonic influence, 10 through 17. A man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue, Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 28, Luke chapter 4, verse 31 through 37, the guardian of the demoniac, Matthew 8:28-32, Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 13, Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 33, the woman with an issue of blood, Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and through 22, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34, Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48, Syrophoenician daughter, Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. A child with an evil spirit. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 21. Also, Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. Luke chapter 9, 37 through 45, a dumb demonic spirit, Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 through 33, blind and dumb demonic, Matthew chapter 12, 22 through 30, Mark chapter 3, verse 22 through 27, and Luke chapter 11, verse 14 through 26. Other indications, in addition to these specific encounters of Jesus, the Bible makes general references of his ministry and those who are afflicted by demonic powers. In the following reference, the term healed is used to describe how Jesus dealt with demonic spirits. by his power through healing, Matthew 4:24, Luke 6:18. In the following reference, the term cast out is used to describe his strategy to end the torment of a human being by casting out of demons, Mark 1:32-34, and also Mark 1:39 and Mark 6:13. In Luke 4:41, simple records of the devils being cast out, and Luke 7:21 states that he cured them, and Matthew 8:16 records that he cast out with his word. Mark 16:19 and Luke 8:2-3 states that Jesus cast seven devils out of Mary Magdalene when a large crowd. Jesus did not allow the demons to speak out, Mark 1:32-34. Discern, discern, discern in these last days. If you are at a church that's preaching prosperity, you need to get out of there because you need to deal with the unseen. We deal with the unseen that attacks. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This stuff is real. The devil is real. You need to really put your armor on, get your game up, and not be going to church and putting your trust in some man. The Bible says it's not good to trust in a man, Psalms 118:8. And then it says that also in 10 or 11, it's best to put your trust in the Lord than put confidence in any man. And you need the Holy Spirit. You don't need anybody just to tell you something. Because there are a lot of deceptive spirits out here. There's a lot of error in certain churches. One church will pinpoint this, got this right. The other one got this wrong. The Seventh-day Adventists got only one thing right, the Sabbath. Their whole doctrine is demonic. They don't even speak in tongues. The Baptists, they got everything wrong. They don't speak in tongues. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost. Most of them say tongues have ceased. We have his written word. The Roman Catholics, they got it wrong, but they cast out demons through the name of Jesus, but they really got it wrong praying with Mary and calling people father. These are doctrines that can be set up by the devil that can pierce the church because of lack of knowledge. Please get knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. Get knowledge of the Word of God. I want to give a shout out to St. Elizabeth in Kingston, Jamaica, Waterhouse. Shout out to Mandeville, Colville Gardens, Washington Boulevard. Amen. Ear Circle, St. Elizabeth, Ocho Rios, Montego Bay, Mapin, Black River. We give a shout out to Atlanta, Georgia, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who's listening to us right now, New York, Chicago, Miami, and Finland. We're going to be bringing the Word of God back to Finland, and we will be back on YouTube. We're working on that. God is so good. Please sow a seed to keep us on air. We don't beg. You would never catch me telling you to sow 1,000 and you're going to get 1,500 the next week. I can't lie like that. I just ask you to sow a seed. I can't be talking up money. That's witchcraft. I don't believe in controlling nobody. I believe in letting the scriptures speak for itself, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will move on your heart, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to move on people's hearts to sow a seed to keep us on air. Go to www.livedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand side of your PayPal site. There is a place that you can make a contribution to us. Please do so. Email me at overtonab1@gmail.com. Be very patient. I have over 1,500 emails a day, and I comb through a lot. I take 3 hours a day just to read that. My schedule is about 17 hours a day, and I've been doing this for 15 years. And I'm praying for assistance, and I thank Sister Durden for helping me, Sister Sheila, who helps me with the Facebook, Brother Paul, God bless him, who's donated some computers, man. And he's real humble. You know, I'm sorry I said his name because he's very, very humble. He does it as unto the Lord. And Brother Tommy, God bless him. His mother, God bless everyone who's helped this ministry. Mr. and Mrs. Baker, God bless you for your tithes and offerings. I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart who's given income. God bless you all. And I pray that no one use you, and I pray that the Lord will show you who to give and where to give, and I pray that he move you and put me in your heart to sow a seed. If you want to be a member, you can. Now, we're going to make some serious changes. We're about to get ready to go on TV. We're about to get ready to go on TikTok. We're going to change our site. We also have a GoFundMe page, and we have a lot of good stuff coming up. And we are also streaming on 74 podcasts right now. All you got to do is go to Google and type in Emmett Overton, and the show is on. God bless you. We're going to open up the room for questions and answers. You're welcome to join us in the room at air code 646-378-1857. I want to thank every last one of those who listen to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. I'm going to turn off the Sam broadcaster so they can go back to the teachings of Frank Hammond that we have all day today. And then what I'm going to do is hit this button here, and I ask that you stand by. And good night, God bless, and happy Sabbath day. Stand by, please. Stand by. I got another one running. I turn it off. Thank you, Lord. Got two running. Okay. Turn that back on. Encode it. Stop. Encode it again. Okay. Turn this off. Turn this back on. Okay. All right. Chaplain John Durden, you got the mic.
Good evening. I would call the session tonight, this afternoon, Deliverance Ministry 101 and 102. That was very interesting. You talked about how demons trick us. You know, you explained some of them. I couldn't write all of them because, you know, I can't write that fast. But, I mean, you distinguish some of those demons. You talked about the evil spirits and those unclean spirits and how spirits track us down and how they deceive us. You told us somewhere about some of the things that we shouldn't be bothered with. You talk about the demons of devils and demons. You talk about familiar spirits. You talked about a few others, but I couldn't keep up with all the writing. But that was a good oversight of everything that you talk about demons. Demons, how they work with devil, how they serve Satan. You talk about the evil spirits and the unclean spirits and deceiving spirits, how they deceive us and all these things. I mean, you give us all the angles, not all, but several the ways how they deceive us, you know. And and then what else? You said, ask us, oh yeah, and especially when you're testing a demon, when you're hearing somebody talking to you, hearing something talking to you, you can ask questions, especially if you think it's a demon. And we should ask the spirit, you know, who's his Lord and Master? Ask the spirit to confess that Jesus. And if you got a problem with that, then you know you need to talk to them.
Dr. Leroy Hillmost texting me telling you, we have his written word. Tongues have ceased. We don't need to do that. E.T. Wilmore.
The tongue has not ceased, sir. That's unfortunate. That is unfortunate. Tongue has not ceased. Tongue, you know, Lord have mercy. I thought half of that stuff, that belief is gone. It has not ceased, sir. It has not. All you have to do is read the
scripture. Say, show
okay?
Him. Show him. Show them. Show them in the Bible.
That's beautiful.
We're going to take a break for Chaplain Durden to get his Bible. We're going to put some music on, and we're going to come back. Tongues have not ceased. Dr. C.T. Pilmington says tongues has ceased.
God was at work in the 20th century. There'll be one name that's bound to feature prominently. Derek Prince. A humble man and a world-class Bible scholar, his steadfast commitment to God and obedience to the Holy Spirit turned him into one of the most loved and respected Bible teachers of his time. For over six decades, Derek Prince's life-changing Bible teaching became a source of inspiration to millions of Christians around the world. Derek Prince was born into a British military family in Bangalore, India, in 1915. At the age of 14, he won a scholarship to Eton, and, later on, a place at Cambridge. Having excelled in his studies, Derek was elected to a prestigious fellowship in Ancient and Modern Philosophy at King's College, Cambridge, the youngest person ever to be elected to that position. Derek's academic career was interrupted abruptly by World War II. In 1940, on the basis of his philosophical convictions, he chose to join the Royal Army Medical Corps as a non-combatant. Despite declaring at the time that religion doesn't do much for me, Derek took a Bible with him to read on his postings, considering it to be a philosophical work. At first, the Bible made little sense to him. But as he continued to read his Bible in an army barrack in Yorkshire in July 1941, God opened Derek's eyes. On that day, God taught him two crucial lessons that remained with him for the rest of his life. Recalling that supernatural experience, he says,
"I heard the voice of Jesus speaking very, very clearly through the scriptures, the Bible. And from the day that I heard his voice till this day, there are two things I've never doubted. I've never doubted that Jesus is alive, and I've never doubted that the Bible is the Word of God."
Almost immediately after his powerful conversion, Derek Prince was shipped off to North Africa, where he spent 3 years serving as an army medic and being discipled in God's Word in the deserts of Egypt, Libya, and the Sudan. At the end of the war, Derek was discharged in Jerusalem, where he met and married a Danish missionary, Lydia Christensen. In doing so, he became a father of 8 girls, whom Lydia had adopted. Derek and Lydia lived in Jerusalem until after the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. It was there he felt the calling to both serve and pray for God's people, the children of Israel. It was a calling he passed on to countless others. In late 1948, as the newborn state of Israel struggled for survival, the princes reluctantly left Jerusalem and moved to England, where Derek became a pastor of a small Pentecostal church in central London. As he ministered in London and later on in Kenya and in the United States, Derek sensed that all was not how it should be and could be in the lives of Christian believers. He saw how many Christians often struggled to rise above the challenges of everyday life. That's why he constantly encouraged those he ministered to, that they should get closer to God through Bible reading and prayer. In the early 1960s, while pastoring a church in Seattle, Washington, Derek was thrust into ministering God's deliverance after being confronted by a demonic manifestation right in front of his pulpit. As time went on, more and more people wanted to hear Derek Prince open up the scriptures to them and help them know more of the power of God. The ever-growing demand for Derek Prince's insights on audio and video cassettes as well as books led to the opening of the Derek Prince Publications Office in Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 1971. In 1975, Lydia died after nearly 30 years of fruitful marriage and ministry with Derek. The loss was devastating for Derek, but he began to work and travel more than ever. A couple of years later, while in Jerusalem, Derek prayed for a woman named Ruth Baker, who had seriously injured her back. Over time, the Lord revealed to Derek that he was to marry Ruth, whom he hardly knew. Following much prayer and testing, Derek and Ruth were married in 1978, and the Lord launched them into a new phase of ministry together. This new phase was marked by the launch of the first daily radio broadcast, Today with Derek Prince, which initially aired on 8 stations in the United States. The word God gave to Derek about using radio for ministry was, proclaim, short, simple messages, easily understood, declaring basic scriptural truths. Today, Derek's radio broadcasts, books, and internet-based resources reach millions of Christians around the globe in over 100 languages. Derek and Ruth Prince continued to minister in many nations as the demand for Derek's teaching increased tremendously until Ruth passed away in December 1998. In the autumn of 2003, Derek Prince died in his beloved Jerusalem, his home for nearly 20 years. He was 88 and left behind a wonderful legacy. To those who had the privilege of knowing him, he left an inspiring example, one of yieldedness to God, love for the church, a heart for Israel, and a roaring passion to see God's people walk in the fullness of the freedom that Christ has purchased for them. To all of us, he left an invaluable treasure of biblical insights in books, articles, sermons, letters, and audiovisual recordings. Derek Prince is the author of more than 50 books, 600 audio and 100 video teaching messages, many of which have been translated and published in more than 100 languages. He pioneered teaching on such groundbreaking topics as generational curses, the biblical significance of Israel, and demonology. In 2002, he said, "It is my desire, and I believe the Lord's desire, that this ministry continue the work which God has begun through me over 60 years ago, until Jesus returns." Today, Derek Prince Ministries continues to combat spiritual hunger by resourcing church leaders, Bible college graduates, and millions of Christians in over 140 countries with Derek's life-changing Bible teaching, fulfilling the mandate to keep on until Jesus returns. This is accomplished through the outreaches of more than 45 Derek Prince offices around the world, including primary work in Australia, Canada, China, France, Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Russia, South Africa, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. It's amazing to consider all that God has done thus far since speaking to Derek shortly after his conversion in 1941, saying,
"It shall be like a little stream. The little stream shall become a river. The river shall become a great river. The great river shall become a sea. The sea shall become a mighty ocean. And it shall be through thee. But how, thou must not know. Thou canst not know, thou shalt not know."
With millions of Christians worldwide still hungry for life-changing spiritual food, Derek Prince Ministries remains focused on the task of bringing this vision to full fruition.
We've been with Derek Prince Ministries for about 15 years. The purpose of I'm doing this with me and Brother John is that there are so many people that's under this doctrine that, and we do this all the time because we get a lot of emails. We get people that emails. I get people that will be in this chat text room and they'll give comments. These pastors, some of them, not all of them, but most of them are Baptist pastors. And Chaplain Durden used to be a Baptist. They don't speak in tongues in the Baptist church. Now, charismatic Christianity with the Catholics, it was amazing that I saw charismatics speak in tongues. And, but praying to Mary and this is error. So this is a popular subject, but these pastors saying we have his written word and tongues have ceased. We're going to give Chaplain Durden this opportunity and condense it as much as he can to explain this, because believers need to believe and know that God has given us signs to follow and speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:22 says, prophecy, tongues is a sign for the unbeliever, not for the believer. 14:39 says, stop no one from speaking in tongues. So this is a very, very important subject here. Chapter, you got 15 minutes. We'll give it to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I was raised a Methodist and a Baptist, kind of a thing. And in both denominations, I was taught about tongues had ceased. Because these professors been in the theological school, been in the profession for 20, 30 years, I figured they didn't know what they're talking about. But, you know, I realize sometime now, as I've gotten older and a little bit more educated, I find out that a lot of things, pastors, a lot of them don't mean any harm. A lot of them just teaching what they've been taught, you know, especially when in seminary kind of a thing, which is unfortunate. If you're sitting in an unknown, if you're sitting in an unknown professor, then you're going to have unknown knowledge or ignorant knowledge. So all my years, from the time I was 18 to the time I was 30, all I heard was we have his word and there's no such thing, a tongue has ceased and everything else. But every time I hear it, I get a prick in my spirit. So I finally did the right thing. I finally just said, Lord, I don't know what to believe. I go to this denomination. No, we don't believe in that. We don't believe in that at all. Go to another one, well, it has ceased. And then go to another one, you get all these kinds of things. So, man, I just cried out to the Lord. Here I am in my 30s, right, going, Lord, I don't know what to believe. I said, that's one thing I hate about my teaching, because everybody going to tell you or teach you what they've been taught or what they heard and everything else from the relationship they had. Now, with respect to the tongues, the Lord referred me to verses 8, 9, and 10, 1 Corinthians, verse chapter 13. Verses 8, 9, and 10. And I'll read it as follows. What it says is there's three gifts. One is called tongues. The other one is prophecy, you know. Another one is prophecy. And the purpose of that is how God communicates to his people, to mankind, until his son returns, you see, because we get everything in part. One teacher say this, one professor say that, one professor say the other. So finally, I went to the Lord, Holy Spirit, and this is what he taught me. He said, John, first of all, let's look at the three things, communications that I do. You got one who, he said, sometimes I use prophecy, sometimes I use tongues, and sometimes I use, you know, I use the other one, which is word of knowledge. And that's the way God communicates with us. He may use the pastor, honey, come here. The Lord told me to tell you something. He told me to say this. Don't worry about your husband. He sure he was going to be like this. He's not going to die. And he's going to be well and so on. He's prophesying, giving word to this young lady what the Lord had told him to say. That's how pastors do. Sometimes a guy may be prophesying. I don't even know. You know, I feel in my spirit that the Lord wants me to tell you so and be right on the money. He said, pastor, it had to be right on, because that's exactly what my problem was. I never shared with you. You know, that's prophecy. Prophecy is a special gift that enables a believer to bring a word of revelation directly from God under the impulse of what? Not the mind, but the Holy Spirit. Do what? To strengthen that person or the congregation, to encourage that person or the congregation, or to comfort that person or family or congregation. That's one means of communication that the Lord gave us. I'm going to skip over for tongue. I'm going to come back and use tongue for last. Then he gave us knowledge. And knowledge is explained this way. Knowledge is an utterance inspired by the Holy Spirit that reveals knowledge about certain people or people altogether, about circumstances, biblical truth. Sometimes you may get the thing in error. But knowledge, again, I'm going to slow down a little bit, because sometimes I get so excited I start going like a machine gun. Knowledge is an utterance inspired by the Holy Spirit that reveals knowledge about what? About people, circumstances, and biblical truth. You find that? You remember I said verses 8, 9. And then another way he communicates with us is through prophecy. And that's a special gift that God gives us that enables what? A believer. You don't have to be a pastor. You can be a believer that bring a word of revelation directly from God. How? Under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. And I'm pretty sure some of your pastors, some of your deacons and everything else who are listening had that experience. All of a sudden, somebody, you see somebody hurting. And so you get with them and you talk to them, and you, before you know it, you're saying something that you never knew you would say. Prophecy is a special gift that enables a believer to do what? To bring a word, a revelation directly from the Lord under what? The impulse of the Holy Spirit. That's, again, a believer, not just a pastor, but a believer. Say, honey, I just felt led to the Lord to say this to you. And what he's doing is prophesying. You know, the Lord said your husband is all right. Yeah, he's been shot, but he's going to live. And he'll be out of the hospital in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. Honey, don't worry about this. And you may call somebody and say, honey, I just felt led of the Lord to share with you. She said, Matt, so you don't have to tell me. The Lord just told me about this. How did you know that? The Lord told me. Prophecy is a special gift that enables a believer to what? bring a word, a revelation directly from God under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do we do? He'll be speaking not in tongues, but he'll be prophesying. He said, Madam, the purpose of it, the third purpose of prophecy, is to strengthen whatever needs to be strengthened, to encourage whoever who needs to be encouraged, or comfort whoever needs that comforting word, a person or a group of people at a particular time. Let me say that again. Prophecy is a special gift that enables a believer to bring a word or revelation directly from God, not from your mind, from God, under the impulse of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen, encourage, or comfort a person or a group of people at a particular time. And then I come to tongues. Tongues, sirs, madam, who never listen, tongues involves the human, what I say, tongues involves the human spirit intermingling and praying for ourselves by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the direct speaking or influence comes from the Holy Spirit, but he's using our tongues and everything else, not our mind. But it involves the human, our spirit, intermingling, praying for ourselves under the direct influence, let me say that, under the direct influence, not of our mind, of the Holy Spirit, apart from activity of the human mind. And this is just another. And then you say tongue has ceased. I want to address that little part of it. If you go down and look at 8, 9, and 10, 9 and 10, then you would see what he's talking about when he's going to come back. Listen at this. Tongues, I said tongues involve the human spirit intermingling, praying for ourselves and others under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you look at verse 9 and 10, it says this, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, that's Jesus, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. In other words, we won't need the other stuff, prophecy, you know, what I was talking about a few minutes ago, and revelation, stuff like that, because what? We have the Lord in our presence. He be here. So he don't have to use a whole bunch of people to say, well, it says this and it says that and it says this and this kind of thing. And the Lord is saying in verse 9 and 10, for whether we know in part, we prophesy in part, that the Lord says this and the Lord says that. But when that which is perfect is come, and Jesus said to me, John, who's the perfect? I said, that's you, Jesus. You know, I ain't got no problem with that. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect to come, that's Jesus, then that which is in part, that's that all that other stuff, the tongues and everything else, the prophecy and words of knowledge. We don't need it anymore because we have the Lord with us. These gifts will cease at the end of this age. That time is described as, when that perfect has come, at the end of history, when the believer's knowledge, character becomes perfect after Christ's second coming. Let me share that again. These gifts will cease or stop at the end of the age. That's when Jesus comes back. At the end of history, when the believer's knowledge and character becomes perfected under Christ's second coming. So when Christ is back with us and with us, then we don't need the tongues, and then we don't need all the other stuff, because that's how God communicates with us now, through tongues, because a pastor could be sitting there behind the pulpit and somebody in there about to commit suicide, you know, kind of a thing. And it's happened. It might be an old rental person sitting in your church. And all of a sudden the Lord said, get up, speak in tongues, just speak in tongues. And you get up there and say, okay, Lord, whatever you say. He says, lay the blessed benediction, I got a word from God. And everybody quiet down, sit down. He said, the Lord says, kichi katapara so. Keli eliapaha so koniane ketipisiama, kolohakaya, mahite eliale kotoporusikina, parasiata. And one woman started screaming, hollering, everything else, screamed to the members and say, that's me. You were talking about me. My child was in an accident, an automobile accident, when the daddy and them were coming home. And she's seriously been damaged and hurt and everything else. And the message is, my child, you know, here she goes. But and the lady's a Mexican girl, an Italian girl. So she just stopped at that church just for prayer. And guess what? When you speak in Tansokolite, you might be speaking in English one time. You might be speaking Italian one time. You might be speaking in German another time. But you're talking to that person. So I want to say these gifts will cease at the end of the age. That's talking about we won't need those anymore, because when Christ comes back, then he will have our Lord in our presence ministering to us. So we don't need to hear tongues and stuff anymore. But until such time, God have three ways of communicating to us, by the word of knowledge and wisdom and stuff like that, and primarily by tongues. For an example, when I was in the taxi going to Puerto Rico, and I was working for the Department of Army at that time, and I didn't know the taxi driver was having problems, you know, over his wife was in the hospital, didn't know whether she was going to make it or not. And what happened? The Lord said, pray, John, you know. So I'm sitting in the back of the cab, right? And from the airport going into the airport, into the places, the base where they are. And I go, Shikatana Kapaso Kedini in Katapala Kiato Mia Te Se Koma Koma Se Yama Ki Eliana Kotopasa Ke Liano Kotaparia Nikiti Piyama Lokotiyama. And the guy started crying, he turned around, put on brakes, said, sir, are you Spanish or you African American? I said, well, I thought you were African American. How come you can speak my language? I said, well, that's what's called tongues. I don't know Spanish, sir. And that's tongues. He said, I heard about it. He says, you ministered to me. I said, what did I say? He said, you told me about, the Lord told me not to worry that my child and my wife's going to be all right. They were in an automobile accident and so on. And it happened a lot. Sometimes I'd be in another church and God would use me. So in closing, I got to say this. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 14, verse 22. It says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. See, we don't have tongues because we believe. We have tongues because we already know, you know, and God would minister to us. A sign, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, like us, but to them that believe not. That's those who do not believe. And in 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 39, it says, wherein, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. And tongues, God, that's his way of talking to people. You can be a pastor, you can be a deacon, you can be the janitor in the church, and some, yeah, may have a stranger in the church, or you may have some visitors there. And them visitors may have some problems yet you don't know. And before you do the closure, Lord, they say, speak in tongues. And you go, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm saying. That's all right, you speak in tongues. And you start speaking Spanish, or you might speak in German, or you might speak in French, and somebody in that place would understand and start screaming and hollering and jumping all over the place and go, what happened? What was wrong with her? You know, and then she'd say, Pastor, you ministered to me. I was thinking about committing suicide, and I go, because, you know, my husband wanted a divorce, or because of this, because of that, kind of a thing. So you have three ways God communicate with us, and that's you know, like I said, that's prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. In prophecy, it is when God used someone and said, you know, I felt the Lord to tell you this, sweetheart, blah, 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 blah. You know, thank you. Yeah, I know you heard from the Lord, because there's no way in the world you would know that, Brother John. That's a problem I was going through. My husband was cheating on me, and I just was thinking about committing suicide. But you came back and told me don't commit suicide and blah, blah, blah. You know, I said, well, the Lord knew you. Where did you learn my language? I said, I didn't. I was speaking in tongues. He said, oh, that's what tongue is. I said, yes, ma'am. And that happened a lot in the hospitals, you know, kind of a thing. And then you got prophecy. Usually I'm given by the pastors. My dear, the Lord tells me to tell you blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 you know, kind of a thing. Praise God, you know. And then Lord, my pastor, a deacon in the church, they call someone who's in the hospital to prophesy over that person, you know. And they said, the Lord told me to say, you're going to be our honey, so and so and so. And there's two ways God speaks to us, either through prophecy or through a word of knowledge. You have to know God. Ain't no way in the world. You know, I've seen Brother Emmett when he first day almost on the job in the hospital, and when I used him as a chaplain, we went to visit. He said, can I go with you? I said, yeah. We went around there. I said, good evening, ma'am. She's laying in the bed crying and everything else. And she said, I'm going to tell you what my problem is. And then Brother Emmett said, can I interrupt 1 minute, Mr. John? I said, yeah. He said, ma'am, your name is so-and-so and so-and-so. Your husband is so-and-so and so-and-so. You have three children. Their name is so-and-so. Their name is so-and-so. Their name is so-and-so and so. How do you know that? And she said, the Lord told me, she said, I believe you got to be a man of God. And then she ministered. And then God showed me another thing. I remember one time when Emmett was working under me at the hospital, and we went to visit, and he said, I got to go somewhere, Mr. John, not knowing he was obeying the Holy Spirit. He stepped out of my office, you know, out of the bedroom, the patient room, and went out there in the hallway, And the woman talked to me about 15 minutes. And then she said, well, what do you think I should do, Chaplain John? And then Emily walked back in the room and said, ma'am. He said, John, may I say something? I said, sure. He said, your name is so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and your husband's name is so-and-so-and-so, and you have three children. One of them name is this, one of them name is that. And she said, how you know all that, you know, and everything else? Well, he said, she said, you a man of God? You really is, you know, kind of a thing. So she speaks English and Spanish. He was able to tell her what her problem was, what she shared with me, and he's outside. Then he come back in and say, and sum up everything the lady said to me. You know, it's the word of knowledge. That's how the Lord worked through that. Then sometimes God would decide just to speak through our spirit. I might get up and go, hey, shikiriyanikotapala. And he said, Brother John, do you know what I said? I don't have the slightest idea. How come you just got through speaking? I understood what you were saying. I said, really? Yeah. God gave me the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. So I said, that's what I'm going to pray for now, the gift of interpretation. So that's what I'm praying for. But how it works. And sometimes tongues really come into play when somebody, several people sitting in your church, wherever you are, may need some help, you know, and some uplifting. And the person might be thinking about committing suicide. And, hey, you walk up there, sir or ma'am, the Lord has something to say to you. You're like, you don't know me. What you talking about? And then you go, shikiriyanikotapaso. And then you call the woman's wife, husband, wish her that and everything else. And the woman about to faint almost. And you go, shakadapati. And then you have to, balusukotianehekita parasakara porosikiyama. That's just another way God communicate to us. And sometimes, guess what? He may talk to you. The pastor may speak to you in some foreign language, and guess what? The Lord will give you, you don't know any foreign language. You say, I know exactly what you said. So whatever the pastor, the first person, or whoever the godly woman or man is talking, the Lord be giving the woman the interpretation who you're talking to. And you don't even know the slightest idea of what you're saying. You know, that's what happened to me most cases, because I haven't gotten that gift of interpretation yet. But I can speak to somebody in the hospital, you know, and tongues, you know, I said, Lord, okay, I hope I don't make a fool out of myself. And I would speak to that person in tongues, and the person started crying, man, and everything else. And she says, how did you know my husband was going to leave me? Yes, with divorce and blah, 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 you know, kind of thing. I said, well, I know that. That was the Lord. She said, what is that thing called? Tongue. I said, yes, ma'am, that's what it is. And then sure enough, the woman called back about a couple of days later and said, you know what, sir? You're really a man of God. Do you know my husband came back and told me he apologized and he was thinking about this and blah, 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 but he finally realized that he loves me and my children. So it is relevant. Tongues is not you. Tongues is the Holy Spirit speaking. And I had to correct one man. I was speaking in tongues, you know, he said, tongues have ceased. And I said, get him. I said, come here, sir. I talked to him and I said, now listen. I said, Shikiti nakatapala soko, heliale hehima, seki alapakate, lianekota shkonia pata, katini hekita parosoko liama. Don't you ever say a tongue has ceased, and don't you ever say that's babbling, because when I go shekari aniketapala saga, it's not me, John, it's the Holy Spirit using my tongues. You understand? He looked at me, boy, Lord have mercy. I say, because remember what Jesus said, you can say anything about me, I'll forgive it. You can say anything about my Father, I'll forgive it. But anything against the Holy Spirit will never, never, never be forgiven. That's what he said in his word. And I go, and I say, sir, if I was you, I apologize. Man saw me how serious I was. He said, Lord, I'm sorry for saying Brother John was babbling. Forgive me. I say, that's right. Because when you hear somebody speaking in tongues, that's not that person. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through that person. And the Lord speaking in tongues, so he can let him know that tongues exist and that the Lord loves him as well. I said, Lord, don't be saying that's a bunch of babbling, that's a bunch of, don't do that. Because the clue is, when you hear somebody speaking in tongues, it's not that person. It's the Holy Spirit using your vocal cords and everything else, giving a message to whoever needs to hear that message. Don't you dare talking about babbling and all that stuff. You insult the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, and Jesus is not a liar, anything mocking against the Holy Spirit will never, never, never be forgiven. That's how much the Holy Spirit is loved and respected. Jesus said that himself. You can talk dirty about me if I'm this and I'm a lunatic. And you can talk about my dad. And the word said that. And then, but he says, but when you say anything derogatory against the Holy Spirit, brother, you're going to hell, period. because you can't come. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. The Lord himself said it's in the word. Anything negative against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. So tongues is a way God can communicate too. You know, not just the people who don't understand English. Sometimes God, the pastor don't know what you said. The pastor's going to say the benediction, and guess what happened? Let's stand up for the benediction. Everybody stand. And then the Lord say, I tell you to close out. Yes, Lord. Speak in tongues. And then the pastor goes, the Lord has a message for y'all. Here it goes. And when he said, in Jesus' name. And then the guy looked at the pastor. I don't know what I said. Pastor, I don't know what you said either. Then all of a sudden somebody said, sir, may I speak? Yeah. I understood what you said. The Lord was speaking in French. The Lord was speaking because I'm from that country. And then he would tell the whole congregation what the Lord has said in tongues to them. And it's a message of inspiration and encouragement and stuff like that for the whole congregation. And with that, I close.
Okay, praise God. Everybody have a good night. Thank you. God bless.